When a critical incident happens, it's all about speed, making sure the message gets out to the right person as fast as possible. Real-time alerting is accompanied with real-time transparency, and that is just the idea of making that response as effective as possible. Being a bootstrap company, always had to utilize innovation as a competitive advantage.
Welcome to a new episode of the DIRTAC podcast, the podcast on reliable alerting for critical systems. In this brand new episode, Doreen interviews Mathis, the CEO and visionary of DIRTAC, as they uncover the innovative culture of DIRTAC, a bootstrapped company leveraging innovation as an advantage. Discover how Signal 4 bridges the last mile, empowering on-call, remote, and mobile teams to collaborate effectively. Stay tuned for stories of success and the transformative impact of Signal 4 in critical incident management. Enjoy listening.
We're here with Mathis DIRTAC, founder and visionary behind DIRTAC, and we want to chat a little bit about mobile incident management and DIRTAC's solution Signal 4 and what is important in the whole area of mobile incident management. Welcome, Mathis.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with looking at what, in your eyes, when you think of the solution Signal 4, is really important, or what are important pillars or mobile incident management, because I think this is really interesting to get that right, because it's really such a critical topic. A lot of people forget that there is much more to it. So I would really like to have your opinion on that.
Sure. Well, the fundamental concept behind Signal 4 is to augment a very relatively classic incident management process that is, for instance, documented in ITIL, right? So it's a kind of segmentation of steps and procedures and what you have to do and who is responsible for what and a process to follow. But in the end, it is not really telling you something about the tools and the way how you do it. So the idea of Signal 4 is to put emphasis on certain steps and add technology to it. In our particular case, communication technology. So what we basically have in focus, of course, number one, is when a critical incident happens, it's all about speed. So it's about speed of response. So an essential factor that we do add to the table is what we call real-time alerting. So we use different channels to communicate critical incidents out in a fully automated manner, bridging the last mile to the people in the field or engineers on call. So reaching out, let's say, via push on their mobile devices, making sure we have backup channels like a voice call or an SMS text message. We do repetitive notifications to make sure that the person in charge really wakes up. And we also have real-time escalations. Let's say then within 5 minutes, the person on call doesn't respond. It gets escalated to another person, and our software really makes sure that it is communicated, or the incident information, incident alert, is communicated as fast as possible. Because again, it is all about speed of response. So that's an important factor. One of the most important things that we bring to the table, because our software, I mean, we have a lot of years of experience in that field of communications and messaging. So we really, you know, excel in that field of making sure the message gets out to the right person as fast as possible. But of course, there's much more to the table. An important factor of avoiding any waste work in incident management, and that's really critical, right? Because you don't want to, if you have a critical and a complex incident, you don't want to have like multiple people working on the same issue. You want to distribute your resources as effectively as possible. So that means that we, put a lot of focus on transparency, real-time transparency. So with Signal 4, we make sure that people actually, or the whole team, sees who has acknowledged which alert, who's working on what is the progress. And that's all in real time and from anywhere. So you simply, you know, open the Signal 4 mobile app and you see all the alerts that relate to that incident, for instance. You see what people are doing, what they are working on, whether they have acknowledged an alert, whether a specific alert has been closed, so the work is done, and so on and so forth. So this real-time alerting is accompanied with real-time transparency. And that is just the idea of making that response as effective as possible. So that's number two. Number three is basically every incident is different, though you might have certain procedures that you follow, which tell you which stakeholders or which people to involve, like stakeholders, affected users, managers on duties, first responders, et cetera, et cetera. Every single incident usually, in many cases, is like an unprecedented situation, right? So you need to help people to make the right decisions in time, and to make them very effectively, very fast. So we talk about, let's say, meaningful alerting, actionable alerting. So providing people with rich information once they receive a notification. And it is really not a notification in Signal 4. That's why we call it Signal, right? So it's much more, because you can augment that information with, let's say, additional links on guides on technical assets, how to solve problems, you know, knowledge base articles. We can, when we, for instance, when we connect to like a third party system where we get the first, in the first place, the event from, then we get all this information from the third party system. And all this information are visible as part of the alert that we send out through the mobile app. But we can also enrich and put links in so that you can then open that alert or detail in the third-party system, for instance. So we really enrich those alerts and make them as meaningful and useful as possible to have the broadest set of information for the first responders in the field so that they can actually, in a very efficient manner, solve the problem.
And yeah, and I think this is really important to note, because everyone that has ever been on call or had to react from a remote location, hence the term mobile incident management, can appreciate what you're doing for them, that you're giving them as much information as possible to really take a very well-informed decision or escalate, et cetera, to rectify a situation ASAP.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, the overall notion of mobility or being mobile or being able to respond from anywhere. I mean, that's one of the core ideas of Signal 4. So we're not talking only about reaching out to people in the field via push on text and voice notification, but really enabling them to respond just using their smartphone, their mobile phone, from wherever they are. So this whole notion of making an incident response, making people or enabling them to respond from anywhere. Now, of course, is a general theme and one of the most fundamental ideas of Signal 4, to give them, with the mobile app in particular, a tool that gives them not only the alerts, but giving them the transparency, giving them the ability to respond, giving the ability to involve other people, giving the ability to access additional information, and so on and so forth. And the collaborative aspect is another important one, right? So we have a built-in chat functionality in Signal 4. So sometimes it's referred to like annotations to an alert or incident alert, but it's a lot more, right? Because people can really use that to track progress and kind of chat with each other about a signal or an alert and let others know what they are doing, that they are working on it. And that gets transported back, let's say, into the console that can be used in an operation center. So the operator sees in real time the responses and also can chat back. And we also have an integration with Slack and Microsoft Teams, taking that even further so that people who are using Teams also can track in real time what the people in the field are doing through the annotations that are routed from the Signal 4 mobile app through the Signal 4 backend and then into Teams and even third-party tools where the alert originated from. So that whole collaboration is really important, because, I mean, if the automation fails, it's people that have to make the right decisions and have to fix the problem. And it's always good to involve all the relevant parties and stakeholders that can help to solve the problem, subject matter experts, managers, et cetera, customer service. So this real collaboration and the transparency in real time of what's going on and how this problem is going to be solved, that's indeed one of the striking features of Signal 4 on top of all the rest.
Yeah, and I think it's amazing because you look at how we work with mobile devices and all the new technologies, and we know how much things change on a daily basis. So with that being said, and everything you just elaborated on what's important or what are important pillars of mobile incident management in reference to Signal 4 and the communication layer that is added on top of that, we know innovation doesn't come overnight. So, you know, you have your team of developers, you have your ideas, you have your vision. How do you go about, I'm sure this is going to be very interesting for people listening, how do you go about fostering an innovative culture within DirtDAC?
We as a relatively small company and being a bootstrap company always had to use or utilize innovation as a competitive advantage. And in our history, we have been very progressive in terms of bringing out new features. We were the first in the market, for instance, to bring out what we called remote actions or remote remediation actions so that you from a smartphone could directly, let's say, trigger automation runbooks. So I think we launched that 2011 or 2012, so relatively early. So in the 2000s, we had a product, it wasn't really a product, called MMS Blocks. You remember that one?
Oh, I do.
Where you could actually, via MMS, which was kind of popular at the time, could submit pictures and then it would automatically create a block. So that would have been some very early picture-based version of Instagram or Facebook. And I think, I don't recall it, but it might have been 2005, 2006 when we kind of, I wouldn't say launched it because we never heavily promoted it, but that was the time. And so we did a lot of things. So we tried a lot of things. And that brings me down to the overall culture that we're trying to foster in our company, which is a challenging task because innovation usually requires a lot of time. It requires also a lot of, let's say, time that isn't filled with your daily tasks. So, and that, of course, is a challenge in itself because as a bootstrap company, the time of your employees and yourself is usually filled a lot with daily tasks. So then, creating those moments where you are not loaded with daily tasks to be creative is very hard. And you have to basically build some sort of, I would say regime so that you have dedicated, timeouts with your employees where you really brainstorm. So that is number one. So that's what we're trying to achieve, that we have so for instance, with our software development team, we have that one day in the week, the team day, where most of the time it's about brainstorming, prototyping, reviewing prototypes, et cetera, et cetera. So that's once a week. Right. And the rest of the week is usually for getting things done. But this one day, especially in the office at the HQ, that's dedicated to more the creative part. But we also try to involve a lot of our people that are from other departments, like from pre-sales or from marketing. So we have once a month, we do a town hall meeting. And it's not only that we are presenting our achievements, et cetera, but part of these town hall meetings is usually also a big block where we kind of talk about customer feedback, where we do customer journeys in mixed teams, where we have a look at our own product in cross teams and review whether a certain job can be done with the product. And that involves then people from totally different departments who don't have necessarily the technical expertise, and they look at the product and try to put themselves into the shoes of a customer and trying to solve a problem. And that is very extremely helpful because it gives us an entirely different perspective and is always a source of great advances in the product, but also in other areas like go-to-market, customer communications, et cetera. And then on top of that, we also try to involve customers as much as possible. So involving customers is a challenge in its own. And you have to make sure that you keep up a good communication channel to your customers to keep them involved. Sometimes it's not wanted. Sometimes it's not expected by the customers that we work like this. But eventually customers get used to it. And you also find a lot of customers who are thankful that you invite them to contribute. But it's a challenge, I have to say. But I believe we're relatively good at it because we have those links, we have customers and influencers we talk to on a regular basis. And we usually try to do that also cross-team, especially involving developers. So that means that it's not only the salesperson who talks to the customers. No, usually, or that's what we strive for. And almost 100% of the time it works, we try to connect customers and developers, right? At least, let's say, not all developers at once, but, you know, people who might have certain influence or working on a specific subject. So that's an important part too. So I would say that this kind of creativity, to summarize, that creativity within the development team is one important pillar. The second pillar is like cross-team collaboration and constantly looking at our own solutions, whether they can do the job, and trying to get all those cross-team innovative thinking into the equation. And the last part, of course, and maybe the most fundamental one, is getting customers also look at your products and giving their feedback. And in the end, with a solution like Signal 4 as a SaaS solution, of course, we also follow like build, measure, learn. So we build like lightweight feature based on feedback that we have and customer enforcement voices and so on and so forth. And then we see how it is used. And then we decide, okay, which direction shall we take? We collect additional customer feedback, and then the feature evolves into the right direction. And if it doesn't resonate with the customer, which can happen from time to time, then we don't develop it any further or seize it in the product anyway at the end. So there are multiple parts basically of the innovative equation here. And a lot of influence, I have to say, we also derive from design thinking, which we started to utilize in 2012. And that heavily influenced the way we actually, you know, try to innovate and foster an innovative culture in the company.
Yeah, and I think it's important, you mentioned it a couple of times, actually, that with the day-to-day tasks overloading everything, you feel almost overwhelmed a lot of the time, and you don't think you have the space nor the brain nor the capacity, whatever you want to call it, to have a brainstorming session. So I would agree that what design thinking has really done or is doing, I believe, for companies and for teams is to create that space, because you got to schedule it. You have to schedule a session, and then it's clear that during that session, there is only innovation going on, ideas, etc., which kind of leads me to the last question that I have for you today, and that is making sure that you have all this culture, you have the innovation, you create the space, and now you need to make sure that people actually do it. They have to bring ideas to the table. So what would you say, how do you do it, or what are the challenges that you see with that, and is there any recommendations that you can give to kind of close the loop here?
Creating an innovative atmosphere in your company has some, you know, some fundamental cornerstones. And I think one of the most important cornerstones is that you transport to your employees that every single voice gets heard. So I think that is absolutely fundamental, because teams usually, especially established teams, and it happens pretty quickly that within teams, there is some sort of communicative hierarchy that is establishing. That means you have people who, you know, always talk, and you have people who, you know, have burned their fingers by, you know, sticking their head out, and so they stop talking. And that's exactly what you need to do and what you need to take care of as a team leader or the person who is responsible for fostering a creative atmosphere, is that you always listen to everybody and that everybody knows that they can speak freely. And I have to say that, I have to admit, that's also pretty much influenced by the experience we did with design thinking, because we have those principles, you know, certain principles that derive from design thinking. We even put those in our office where we sit and have these creative sessions. I've put them personally on the wall there, And, you know, things like build on the ideas of others, or don't judge early and or defer judgment. These are the things that you really have to live after if you want to make sure that the creativity in your team is always there and is always adhered. So yeah, that's the most important cornerstone. You have to make sure that everybody thinks, yes, my voice matters. Even if I'm from sales or from marketing and I'm in charge of, let's say, social media campaigns or whatsoever, if I look at the product, you know, from my point of view, I will have an opinion on a certain feature, even if I don't understand it exactly, but that even already might be a reason to speak out that I don't understand it, right? So, and that's why you have to make sure that also those people are able to speak up, let's say, in a meeting with developers and don't get brushed aside. And I think that's fundamental to an innovative atmosphere. Yeah, it's about fresh perspectives, right? So if you mix teams, if you mix or if you, you know, establish new tasks for new teams, then you change the perspective. And changing the perspective is one of the fundamental things of bringing out products with a great user experience. Because if only engineers sit at the table, they are in danger of missing very important things because they are too much into the detail and they tend to overdo things but lose track of, let's say, a great user experience from a person that is much less tech savvy, for instance, or into the product, right? So this is, of course, for user experience and user design, that kind of different perspectives also from non-developers is absolutely essential. But also fundamentally, also for yourself, you know, how do you innovate as a person, as a single person? It's also about, you know, changing perspective and trying to step into the shoes of others. Or, you know, I mean, innovation, some people say innovation is just the recombination of different ideas and applying them to other areas, right? So that's what innovation makes in the end. And to some extent, I believe that is true. But especially if you want to do disruptive or want to be disruptive and come with ideas that haven't been thought of, different perspectives, you know, a number one priority.
Yeah, let's leave it at that because I think this is great. Different perspectives, the aspects of communication. We had transparency. We heard a lot about how to foster a creative atmosphere inside an organization and make sure that a great solution pops out at the end that helps customers really thrive in what they're doing, anticipate their every move, if you like. So thanks for doing this with us here, Mattis. I look forward to chatting with you again. Let's see what we can cook up, and everyone have a great day.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you, Doreen.
You heard Mattis and Doreen talking about the innovative culture of DirtDeck and the impact of Signal 4 in critical incident management. More about DirtDeck and Signal 4 can be found in the show notes or on signal4.com. Until next time, stay alerted.